Hazard Audio.
This week, due to a local infestation of Sports Appeal groupies in the Launchpad studios, Steve and Matt have retreated to the Launchpad bunkers, where they get into their NFL Week 3 recap, NFL Week 4 picks, plus college football and the Heisman race. In addition to the Tweet Zone and Sports Madness, it's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it! Because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
You can find us every single week right here. All of our music on the show is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band, and you can get all their stuff on iTunes or Spotify or their YouTube channel. Find us on Twitter. We're at The Sports Appeal. We love interacting with you guys on there. We tweet all the time. With us, as always, is our producer. He still has 11 fewer rushing yards than DeMarco Murray, Johnny Five.
And powered by Hazard Audio.
This week's show, we're going to talk a lot of football. We got NFL and we got college football. We got the Tweet Zone and Sports Madness, as always. But let's start with a quick recap of the Week 3 NFL schedule.
My favorite game this week by far has to be the Bengals-Ravens game. The Bengals were winning 14-0 at the half. Then the Ravens came back, took a 17-14 lead, and that was actually the first time the Bengals had been behind all season, and it lasted for all of 8 seconds. Because then on the very next play, Andy Dalton threw an 80-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Green, which A.J. Green was ridiculous on. He should have been tackled on the 20-yard line, broke through two tackles with an incredible spin move, and managed to get into the end zone. Then the Ravens did get another touchdown soon after that. Then the Bengals again came back. They scored another touchdown, ended up winning 28-24, an electrifying last 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah, last 6 minutes was nuts. A.J. Green's play, like you said, he just showed off what phenomenal balance he has, because anybody else would have fallen down. He should have fallen down, but he kept his balance and just burned the rest of the secondary for that touchdown.
It didn't even look like he was starting to fall down. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll just do this spin with a guy draped on me.
Yeah, normal human beings would have definitely lost their balance. Steve Smith Sr. for the Baltimore Ravens. This is his last year in the league, and he did not look like an old man. 13 catches, 186 yards receiving, and 2 touchdowns. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah,
not to be outdone, A.J. Green, 10 receptions, 227 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, A.J. Green absolutely tears apart the Baltimore Ravens. In his career, he's averaging around 130 yards per game against the Ravens.
All right, let's move on to the Steelers and the Rams. The Steelers won this game 12-6. Really not exciting at all, but Ben Roethlisberger leaves the game with a knee injury. He got carted off. It turns out it's not as serious as it looked at first. It looked like he's going to be done for the year. You were thinking torn MCL, broken shin, something in that range. Turns out it's just a sprain, and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. This is a huge blow for an offense that was really starting to click.
He also wasn't playing very well up until that injury in that game either. Going against the St. Louis Rams team that's been very up and down, they should have a good defense. Some games it doesn't really look like it. But Big Ben did go 20 of 24 for 192 yards in the time he played. But he also had no touchdowns and an interception for a passer rating of pretty pedestrian for him, 82.6.
And Le'Veon Bell, it was his first game back. You could tell he's a little bit rusty. 19 carries for 62 yards, but he did some damage in the receiving game. Had a solid day, but you could tell he was a little bit rusty. This Rams team, though, I don't know what to expect from this team week to week, dude. They confuse me.
That's really been the case with them for the last several years. They have talent on the field, and any given day they can go out and beat a really good team. In fact, last year they went 6-10, but of those games, they had signature wins over both the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos. You really just don't know what you're going to get with them, because they can be really dominant, but you just can't expect it out of them.
Now, I want to talk about two teams in the NFC, the Arizona Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers. Which one of these is the best team in the NFC right now?
I have to go with the Arizona Cardinals.
Really?
I really do. I mean, just the dominance that they have shown throughout this season, going from their absolute destruction of the Chicago Bears to destroying the San Francisco 49ers by even more 47-7 was very impressive.
Yeah, they've been blowing people out, and their defense has looked pretty good. Their offense has looked really good. But you also have to look at the three teams they've played, the Saints, the Bears, and the 49ers. Three bad teams. So temper your expectations for the Cardinals a little bit. But at the same time, the rest of their schedule is just as easy. They could easily go 14-2. They've got the Browns, the Ravens, the 49ers again. They got the Vikings. They got the Chargers and the Raiders. They could easily go 14-2, 13-3.
Yeah, and talking about schedule, I definitely can buy your argument that the Green Bay Packers have a better overall team. They have convincing wins over both Seattle and Kansas City, both of whom have pretty good defenses. But in terms of the final season record, I definitely expect the Cardinals to end up with a much better record. I mean, the Packers have a very difficult schedule ahead. They've got games coming up against the St. Louis Rams, who, again, you never know what you're going to expect. The Denver Broncos in Denver, and while Denver hasn't looked like themselves this year, that's still never going to be an easy game. They've also got games against Dallas, and they do face the Arizona Cardinals in week 16, and that should be a really exciting matchup.
Unless they're both already in the playoffs, in which case we probably won't see Aaron Rodgers or Carson Palmer in that game. Either way, you know, you and I are looking good because the Packers were my Super Bowl pick. The Cardinals are your Super Bowl pick. They're both 3-0, and they're both rolling.
And with that, we'll throw it to Johnny Five for the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
Jeffrey R. Horn is kicking off the Tweet Zone saying, should Major League Baseball reseed the playoffs by wins, not division winners, so Pittsburgh and St. Louis would have byes while the Dodgers and the Mets would play in the wild card round?
I definitely like that idea in theory. It should at least bear consideration, but as it stands this year, I really like the way things are going to play out. You're guaranteed an NL Central matchup, which seems kind of cheap to those teams, but at the same time, that's going to be such a fun series. It looks like the St. Louis Cardinals are going to hold on and clinch the division. So whether it's the Cardinals playing the Cubs or the Cardinals playing the Pirates in the National League Division Series, that should be absolutely an incredible series.
Yeah, it sounds like the NBA is eventually going to go this way with the reseeding the best teams 1 through 16. But I'm not sure it'd work for Major League Baseball just because the divisional games are so good and so important. This would kind of diminish the importance of divisional games if you were just to reseed it by who has the best record.
I really do like the impact that having divisions has on baseball because it's not as big of a deal in the NBA, so you don't really care as much again about who you're playing in your division.
Yeah, both systems have their merits.
All right. We at Sports Appeal originally tweeted, the New York Giants are taking a look at both Wes Welker and Hakeem Nicks. To which @PidgeMerkin replied, great handle, by the way, meanwhile, the Browns have limited receivers.
Yeah, the Browns receivers, I mean, Travis Benjamin looks legit. He's a speedster. He has big plays every week. But other than that, they have Andrew Hawkins, Brian Hartline, Dwayne No-Show Bow. So, yeah, the Browns should absolutely be looking at some free agent wide receivers right now.
Yes, they should. Now, a bigger question for them long term, is Josh Gordon ever going to get his act together and be able to play in the NFL again?
Not this year, he's not.
Well, no, clearly, they're not doing anything this year anyway. He can really be a piece of a championship team in the future. I don't know if it'll be the Browns because I don't know if they're ever going that far. But he can really be a dominant wide receiver. He should be in the conversation for best wide receiver in the league every single year, and yet he never is because he's never playing.
The bottom line is the Browns knew he wasn't going to play this year, and they still did nothing to bolster their wide receiver core. They should be doing it now. They need help.
And our last tweet for the Tweet Zone, a fantasy question from @MSedano63. Do you like Brandon Marshall or Amari Cooper long-term in a PPR league?
Going forward from this point, I like both. I like Brandon Marshall and I like Amari Cooper. If I have to choose between the two, I'm probably going to take Brandon Marshall just because he's a bigger red zone threat. Cooper gets more targets, but the yardage is usually pretty even. And Brandon Marshall is the red zone threat. He's going to get more touchdowns than Cooper, so I would go with him.
That's absolutely true. The one thing that worries me about Brandon Marshall is he's been playing in the league for a lot longer. He has taken a ton of punishment and inflicted a ton of it on himself because that guy has no quit in him. When he's on the football field, he's giving it 110%. All the time, at least now. Not as much earlier in his career when he was having some more attitude issues, but he really just is willing to inflict punishment on himself, and that's part of the reason he's been so good. But what worries me is the injuries are going to start catching up to him. pretty much every season for the last several years, he's had some kind of off-season maintenance surgery, usually on his hips. And so far, it hasn't caught up with him, and he's still been an elite wide receiver in the NFL. But as he gets older, and he's past 30 now by a couple years, it worries me that it will start catching up to him. He might actually miss some games.
And you also know Amari Cooper's not going to throw a lateral to the other team's face mask like Brandon Marshall did this week.
That's it for the Tweet Zone. If you want to get on next week, tweet at us at the Sports Appeal. When we come back, we're going to talk about some college ball. We want to discuss Michigan's incredible upset of BYU, also get into some of the Heisman Trophy candidates. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve. That's Matt. Let's talk some college football. Start with the Michigan Wolverines. They had a really impressive home win versus BYU this week. 31-0, blanked the Cougars.
BYU came in there ranked 22nd in the nation. Michigan unranked in 2-1 and just blew them out. Now, that was all in the first half. They didn't manage to do anything in the second half, except on defense where they continued to hold them scoreless.
Right, and you and I questioned Michigan last week. We said the jury was still out on them. We weren't really sure if they were good or not. After their week one loss to Utah, everybody was ready to write off the Wolverines. Oh, it's not going to be a great season. They're probably not going to be very good. Turns out Utah is just awesome, and Michigan's pretty damn good too, because since that week one loss, they've only given up 14 points in three games.
Yeah, definitely. A really incredible defense. And Utah has been just stellar. In fact, Utah just went to Eugene, Oregon and beat the Ducks 62-20.
Blew the doors off the Ducks and knocked them out of the top 25. Nobody expected that to happen at all this year. Nobody expected Utah to be as good as they are. Their quarterback, Travis Wilson, he can get it done through the air. He had four passing touchdowns against Oregon. He can run the ball. They have Devontae Booker at running back. He's one of the most underrated backs in the country right now. I think he's going to be a really good NFL player. This is a really good football team.
And going back to Michigan a little bit, really looking forward to 2 and 3 weeks from now, when on October 10th, they play Northwestern, and October 17th, they play Michigan State. Two ranked Big Ten rivals. So both of those games should be very telling about the new balance of power in the Big Ten.
All three of those teams are talented, and all three are defensive teams, so those should all be low-scoring games. In fact, Northwestern gave up their first passing touchdown of the season this week to Ball State, so they have their first Big Ten game against Minnesota this week. That's a big test for Northwestern to see if they're actually legit. Let's talk about Notre Dame football a little bit. They have been really, really good. They lost their quarterback, Malik Zaire, for the year, and I thought that they were going to be in trouble. But this freshman kid they've got playing is really good. They've got CJ Procise at running back. He came out of nowhere. Nobody expected him to be this good. And this Notre Dame defense is really sharp.
Yeah, so far Notre Dame already has a big win against number 14 ranked Georgia Tech, who is favored to win the ACC this year. And they've got a very important matchup at number 12 ranked Clemson this weekend in primetime.
Yeah, and Clemson was the other team that was a big favorite to win the ACC this year. So if Notre Dame can beat both of them, I think they're well on their way to the college football playoff.
It certainly is starting to look that way. I mean, they are now 4-0. If they can take on Clemson in an away game, go to 5-0, it's looking real good for them. They have two remaining matchups against currently ranked teams, and that's a couple weeks from now at home against USC, and then in the last week of the regular season at Stanford, who's ranked 18th at the moment.
That could be a huge matchup in the last week of the season.
Yeah, that could really go a long way towards telling you who's going to make it into the playoff.
Absolutely could be, because they're not in a conference right now, so they don't have a conference championship game, so that'll be it for them. Let's talk about the Heisman a little bit. This Leonard Fournette kid at LSU is unbelievable. I watched the entire game against Syracuse this weekend because I'm a Syracuse alum. Syracuse hung tough, but they had no answer for Leonard Fournette. He's an animal.
He is currently averaging 8.6 yards per carry and has 8 touchdowns. There have only been 4 games played. He has 631 yards already in those 4 games and not even on that many attempts.
And it's not just the numbers. I mean, you watch this kid, and if he's on the sideline and there's a defensive back coming at him, he could just step out of bounds, but he doesn't. He makes eye contact with the defensive back and then runs his ass over. He's a beast.
Now, one other running back that's really putting up eye-popping numbers, and they need to give him the rock more, is Matt Breda at Georgia Southern. Now, a lot of his games have not been against the most impressive opponents, but what has been impressive is he has three games in a row where he has at least 160 yards rushing. He's averaging 10.9 yards per carry on the season.
10.9? 10.9. Oh, my God.
And, in fact, in week two against Western Michigan, he, on 11 carries, rushed for 176 yards and four touchdowns.
Wow, so possible Heisman contender for the Georgia Southern Eagles there. You don't see that every year. My pick for the Heisman, Nick Chubb, is keeping pace with Leonard Fournette. He's only 32 yards behind Fournette right now, and he's been doing it against pretty big competition. He had 189 yards rushing against Vanderbilt, who held Ole Miss to only 27 points this week. Vanderbilt's defense has been really good this year. Actually, they've held all of their opponents to more than 10 points less than their scoring average for the year. So Vanderbilt's defense has been really stout, and Nick Chubb just tore them apart. So he's right there with Fournette for the Heisman.
Speaking of Heisman Trophy candidates, we're not even going to talk about mine because Connor Cook has been extremely mediocre.
He's been good. They're the number two team in the country.
Yeah, but they're doing it on defense and a good all-around team. Connor Cook's numbers on the season are not even remotely spectacular. He is only completing at 58.1%, which is actually exactly the same percentage as he had last year. Now, he does have 9 touchdowns to only 1 interception, so he's playing well within the system, but he's got to get those completion numbers up more and the total touchdown numbers.
It's just like I said about him at the beginning of the year. He is a good college quarterback, and he's going to be a good pro prospect. He'll probably still be a first-round pick, but he's not going to win the Heisman. He's just not going to have the stats to do it.
When we come back, we're going to give you our picks against the spread for next week and break down our picks from last week and go to Sports Madness.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
This is Sports Appeal. You've got Steve, and you've got Matt, and we've got our Against the Spread picks for Week 4 in the NFL. Week 3, once again, did not go well for my compatriot Axelrod here.
Yeah, this is why I don't gamble on sports, other than my hair, and that one worked out pretty well.
Yeah, that one did work out pretty well for you. So you went 1-2 this week. The only game you got right was Denver against the Detroit Lions team that looks just sad. They look really bad.
Yeah, Detroit Lions do look terrible. I think the main thing really is giving up Sue, but they just, something's not clicking for them on offense.
They don't do anything well. They can't pass, they can't run, they don't play good defense. They're just bad. So you got that game right, and you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wrong. They lost by 10 to Houston, and you got Kansas City wrong. I don't know what you were thinking picking against the Packers at home on a Monday night. I took Oakland against Josh McCown, and I got that one right. Atlanta came storming back in the second half to beat Dallas by 11. And Indianapolis, they let me down. They won the game, but they only won by 2 points. The spread was 3.5. So
Beck, they almost lost that game.
They did, yeah. So I lose the spread on that one. Indy almost had a just disastrous start to their season, but they managed to salvage that game. So for the season, I am 6-3 against the spread, which is really good, actually. If you go to Vegas, that's really, really good. And you are 3-6, which is really bad. Give us your picks this week so everyone knows who to not bet on.
All right. Gladly. For my first game, I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings against Denver. Denver is favored to win by 7. And granted, it is in Denver, but the Broncos have not looked very good. And the Vikings have been surprisingly, I mean, they're inconsistent, but they've had some pretty impressive games, including just destroying the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, the Broncos are 3-0, but they've kind of limped to 3-0, and their offense is not good. So 7 points is a big spread for a team that has had trouble scoring. My first pick is going to be Carolina Panthers, favored by 3.5 at Tampa Bay. I like this spread because Carolina's going to score a touchdown on defense. I don't know why, but I have a feeling that they're going to. Giving 3.5 points to Jameis Winston is not enough for Tampa Bay. Doug Martin has been bad. Mike Evans is banged up, and their defense is not good.
For my next game, I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys at the New Orleans Saints. I can't believe it. The Saints are favored to win by 5. Now, I know the Cowboys have Brandon Weeden at starting quarterback right now, but the New Orleans Saints just suck. So the fact that even if this game was being played in neutral territory, the Saints would be favored to win by 2 blows my mind. I got to think the Cowboys are at least going to keep it closer than that. Honestly, I expect the Cowboys to win this game.
My second pick is the New York Giants, plus 5.5 points at the Buffalo Bills. I think the Bills are really being overrated. They've had some big wins. They've had a lot of offensive production, but I feel a collapse coming with the Bills. And the Giants have been good. They lost 2 games, but they've been up by 10 or more in the fourth quarter of both of those games. So I really believe in the Giants, and I'm not buying into the Bills hype. Give me the Giants plus 5.5.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Now, for my last game, I'm taking what looks to be a laugher, Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the 49ers just lost 47-7, and the Packers are favored to win by 9.5, and it is in San Francisco, but even so, the Packers are just a much better team than the 49ers. Now, there is still Colin Kaepernick to account for, and over the last few years, he has given the Packers fits, but expect them to get some retribution for that in this game because they are just such a more complete team than the 49ers are.
Yeah, Kaepernick was bad last week, so we'll see what the 49ers do with him this week. For my last pick, fuck it, I'm going back to the well. I'm taking the Raiders again. Raiders -3 at the Chicago Bears. Same reasons as last week. They're going against a bad team with a bad quarterback, Jimmy Clausen. I know Cutler's been practicing a little bit, but I don't think he's going to play. So I'll take the Raiders -3, Latavius Murray, Amari Cooper, Derek Carr, all these guys are starting to look really good. I'm believing in the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders have had some impressive performances this year. They definitely don't look like the bad old Raiders of old, and the Chicago Bears look a lot like the bad old Raiders of old. I can't fault you for taking that. I do expect Cutler to play this weekend, though. I would just stay away from this game altogether because we haven't seen enough of the Bears with Cutler this year to know if they're actually awful or just bad.
You love that line between awful and bad when it comes to the Bears. So before we get into sports madness, I want to give you an opportunity, Matt, to apologize to the Gingers for your Brandon Weeden comment last week. Are you going to do it? Are you going to apologize?
Why would I apologize? I've been called the Ginger. No, fuck the Ginger.
So we have one listener in particular who took offense to this, and I happen to know he's an Indiana Hoosiers fan. So if Indiana upsets Ohio State this week, will you apologize to Gingers? Will
you take that? Yes. If Indiana upsets Ohio State this weekend, which they won't, I will apologize to Gingers.
All right. Yes. Count it. Let's do sports madness.
Sports madness.
Our first sports madness story is from the Miami Dolphins. They got crushed this weekend by the Buffalo Bills, and that was not the worst of it for defensive back Brent Grimes. Before the game even started, his wife tried to hop a security fence to get into the stadium and ended up getting into an argument with a police officer. This resulted in her getting arrested. 3 different charges: battery of a police officer, resisting arrest with violence to the officer's person, and disorderly conduct. So apparently this wasn't just an altercation of words. I think she fought back a little bit.
Yeah, that's never any good. Look, I don't care how famous you think you are. If the police are telling you, hey, don't do that when you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, don't fucking do it.
Yeah. You know who I am? Yeah, you're under arrest. That's who you are.
Our next story comes to us from MMA and gives us wonderful titles like this one from The Inquisitor. Brianne Russillo's F Cup breasts push women's MMA to the forefront.
What?
This fighter, Brianne Russillo, is a 29-year-old woman whose F Cup breasts force her to fight in a heavier weight division. She has some very colorful language on the subject. She thinks it's unfair that she has to fight in a higher weight class than women of a similar build who aren't so blessed. And this is a direct quote. It's not like I can take a nail file and hack off my tits.
Wow.
So she feels very strongly about this one. The only reason I'm even fighting at 150 is because my blanks weigh 12 pounds, she says.
12 pounds, Jesus. It appears that her big boobs are a detriment to her. Most women want to get their boobs enlarged. She needs to have them reduced. It's just women always want what they can't have.
Well, it sounds like she's not actually considering getting the reduction.
No.
So good for her, but it is a shame that it's holding her back in her career.
I have a feeling she's going to get quite a bit of notoriety right now. Our last story is from St. Louis. Before the Rams-Steelers game this weekend, they had a little pyrotechnic show like they do before every football game. You know, there's fireworks going off. The guys run out of the tunnel. There's smoke everywhere. It's great. One little itty-bitty problem here. Once the smoke settled and the pyrotechnics stopped going off, the field itself, the turf, was on fire. That's right. The field was in fuego.
On fire.
This may have been a sign of things to come in this game. I mean, the game was not pretty. The Steelers won with 12 points, and they lost Big Ben to a knee injury, so the fire before the game was kind of foreshadowing.
Definitely not a good start to a game, and not a very good rest of the game either, even though they did get the W. That's all the sports madness we have for you this week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, we are produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio. Tweet at us at the Sports Appeal, and playing us out is going to be Tennessee Traveler by Full Service.
Hazard Audio.